All right, good morning, everybody. Thanks for being here. In just a minute, Chris Huffines is going to come up and give our message for today, which was really nice for me because it gave me a chance to have a week off last week and just enjoy the Christmas holidays and vacation and time with my family. And so thank you, Chris, for doing this for me, and I really appreciate that. Before we do that, though, I've got just a couple announcements for you. First of all, a reminder that today is Communion Sunday, and so hopefully for those of you who are here with us, you picked up one of those little cups on the way in. I really encourage you to start opening up that top layer over the wafer. Make sure you don't do the bottom layer with the juice, because then it'll spill all over, and then just put it to the side or put it in the little communion cup holder in front of your seat. And for those of you at home, I encourage you to go grab the elements that you need, some bread, some juice, and get that ready before we get going, so that then after the sermon, we can just transition very seamlessly into that. And the other announcement is just a reminder for the women that we are going to be starting up a women's Zoom study for any women who want to be a part of that. So let me know or email the office, and we'll get you the link for that. That'll be starting up on the 12th, I believe. It'll be Tuesday nights, 7 o'clock, and they're going to be going through a bunch of the Psalms, so a women's Zoom study available to you ladies. Other than that, Happy New Year, and welcome to 2021. I know that we're all hoping and praying that it's a better year than last year, but we know that God has good things in store for us, so why don't you bow your heads and pray with me as we open our time. Lord Jesus, I thank you for today. I thank you that we can gather together, whether it's in person or virtually. I thank you that we can open up your word and have it speak to us. I pray, Lord, that you would anoint Chris and bless him as he speaks, that his words would be your words, that you would encourage us in our faith and continue to guide us and lead us, that we would feel your presence close to us and know your love and continue to grow. We praise your name, Lord, and ask that you'd be glorified in this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Chris Huffines.
Thank you, Andrew. Really appreciate that introduction. So if we can try to use the thingy here and not break it. Okay, I broke it. Paul, can you shoot me to the first slide there, and then maybe it'll work from there. Perfect. Thank you, Paul. All right. This is something I do, is I get up on stage and I break the technology somehow. There's some funny stories about that. So the story goes that back when I was about 13 or 14 years old, at a church in Midland, Michigan, my father got tapped to help start up a television ministry. He'd done a lot of that work in our church in Texas, and then we moved up here to Michigan, there to Michigan, and he got asked to work on that and start the whole thing up from scratch. And in his infinite wisdom, he decided that me, 13 or 14 years old, and my brother, 2 years older, were going to be his cameramen. And so Brian and I got to learn how to run a camera as teenage boys every Sunday morning at church. And I got pretty good, but there are some lessons that I learned that I wanted to go ahead and share today that came from that. First thing, though, I want to talk about the setup we have here, because that's something I have a lot of knowledge about now. And I really wanted to congratulate Paul and the rest of the team on what they put together here. This is, especially on the timeline, really, really good. And so at some point you're like, Chris just said that. He's taking a shot at Paul. Don't be that guy. No, this is really good, and I really want to congratulate the whole team on what they've done. All right. I broke it again. Hey, Paul, can I ask you to change slides for me? All right. Let's go ahead and go through our roadmap here for what we're going to talk about. We're going to cover three specific points. Number one is called framing your shot. Two is staying in focus, and third is the next shot. Those are the 3 points we're going to talk about. The first one is framing your shot, and there's one of the key skills of running a camera is how you make that rectangle that shows up on the screen look good. emphasize what you want to emphasize, and not look bad. And those are three actually different skills. And there's a lot of different rules about it, but the most important one's called the rule of thirds. And what you do is you break up that rectangle into thirds horizontally, so left third, middle third, right third, and then you do the same thing top to bottom. And we're gonna use, for everybody at home, this shot you're looking at right now to illustrate. For those of you in the room, I've got some Star Wars to show the same thing. So if you're looking at me right now, right up here, my midline of my body is on the third line. That's where you want somebody to be, here, over on the side third line, or somewhere in the middle. And if you're looking at my face, right here, my nose is on that top third line. And that shows that that intersection, one third and one third, that's a point of maximum interest. And since I'm the only one up here talking, hopefully right here is your point of maximum interest, and you're not paying attention to Star Wars. The other thing you'll notice, it's a little hard to see on this shot, is there's a certain amount of distance above my head. You want that to be a tenth of the screen, 5% of the screen. You really don't want to have too much. You don't want to have too little. You definitely want to cut off somebody's head. That's a bad idea. But it's just that one piece of composition is super important. And if you're actually paying attention to amateur camera work, it's really easy to notice when people mess it up, and the whole shot just looks wrong. All right, let's keep going. And good framing of a shot is three different things. It's a partnership, it's communication, and you want the camera to effectively be invisible. Now, what I mean by partnership is the person who's on stage is doing some things to not mess up the shot. For example, I'm not wearing a white shirt, I'm wearing a gray shirt. White tends to just wash out the entire image, and it really, really messes up the white balance. So if you're on camera, you want to wear gray, blue, green, not white. I'm speaking, I should know about where my limits are. If I go way over here, you guys can't see me. You guys can see me, you're in the room, but nobody on the camera can see me. And so I shouldn't be doing that except on purpose to make a point. What I also mean by a partnership is the person running the camera has to follow the lead of the person speaking. If we had a live cameraman, this one is fixed, but if we had a live cameraman and I'd gone over there, it's not that person's job to say, I've got a good shot and I am not moving. You come back into my shot. No, he's got to follow the guy walking. Got to keep that good frame in focus. Second thing is it's communication. Like I said, framing a shot is about making the important thing important. There's a really good camera technique where you change focus. Let's say you've got somebody really close to the camera and something really far back, and the person that's talking is in focus, and then the focus shifts the person far back, and that person suddenly talks. That communicates, guy in front is important, now the person talking is important. The act of communication is super important. It's what you're supposed to be doing as a cameraman, trying to convey to the audience, this is a big deal, that isn't. Nope, now I've changed it. Now that's a big deal, and this isn't. And the third thing is that good camera work is invisible. And by that, I mean the viewer is not thinking about the camera. They're thinking about the message. We've all seen this. Somebody makes a mistake, and you're now watching the mistake. Or a little kid is doing something interesting, and you're watching the little kid, not the person speaking. That's when the camera goes from invisible to visible. The worst way to do this is what happened to me doing camera in Atlanta. I kept doing it after Antha was born. And it's basically a basketball arena, this particular church. And one live camera and then some robotic ones around the perimeter. The one live camera is mid-court, right in the middle on a big elevated stage. My feet were everybody's head level. And I'm sitting up there running my camera, doing my thing. And this is after Antha was born. Antha, if you don't know this, is in the NICU for about 2 months, and when she was born. And I don't deal well with babies in hospitals anymore. So I'm up there on camera, they do a little announcement video, and it's babies in hospitals. And I'm up there like, trying not to cry, keeping it together, And I'm like, everybody's looking at me, I'm not invisible anymore, that's not good. So you don't want to be that guy. You want to keep your focus on what's being discussed. Let's flip to our next slide. And this comes back to scripture. And we talk about here with Paul, 1 Corinthians, one of my favorite verses, where he talks about no one should seek their own good, but the good of others. Do not cause anyone to stumble, whether Jews, Greeks, or Church of God, even as I try to please everyone in every way. For I am not seeking my own good, but the good of many, so they may be saved. That's Paul saying, in large part, it's not about me. I need to be invisible. My evangelism needs to be invisible. It needs to be focused on God, not on the guy doing it. That's the first one. Let's move to our second lesson, which is staying in focus. Now, when you're running a camera, there are four controls. Pan, right and left. Tilt, up and down. Zoom, near and far. And if you're Grover, you do that very well. And then there's focus. And focus has about, you know, 5, 6, 7 feet where you're nice and clear. And then farther and farther away you get, it gets blurrier and blurrier, and finally it's very blurry. And the problem with focus is two things. Number one, it's really finicky. If you're off, you can be a tiny bit off, and you just can't quite get it to right. The second thing is, with the other three, if you're too far to the right, you know you're too far to the right. If you're too far up, you know you're too far up. If they're blurry, are they too close? Are they too far? You don't know. You just know you're wrong. And you have to, like, live fix the thing and hope you don't mess it up. And the problem I would have is when I'm running a camera with Dad up in Michigan, I'm a 14-year-old boy. I am not entirely paying attention to things that are important to other people. I'm a 14-year-old boy. And that particular pastor, Pastor Dan, would move all the time. And worse, we're way up in the corners. Now, you gotta think about it this way. Think about where, like, the Thales sit normally. So way up on the corner in the on the side. And if you're Pastor Dan, you're moving over here, you're getting closer to that corner. Or you come over here, you're getting closer to that corner. So you're changing the focus point. And so I'd be, you know, doing camera, and I'd start thinking about something else far more interesting. And he'd move, and I'd miss it. And suddenly, he's out of focus. And I got to figure out where he is. Probably why he's moving the other direction. The guy moved all the time. And the problem would be, one, I got distracted in the first place. And I'd lose the guy. But then I wouldn't know how I was wrong. All I would know was he was blurry and he wasn't supposed to be. And I had to fix the thing. And half the time my dad would jump to my brother, which also was bad because, you know, I'm better than Brian, obviously. He had to jump to Brian, and I had to fix my shot, which was always annoying. And all that happened because I stopped paying attention for a few seconds. Let's jump to our next slide. And the scripture here is from Matthew and also from Peter. I like the Peter one better, but I think Matthew kind of sits on the topic better, so we're going to use that one. You know, therefore keep watch. You do not know on what day your Lord will come. Yes, things are more important, you think. Star Wars, apparently, for me. But, you know, you've got to keep on the task. You've got to keep focused on what you're doing. Because if you don't, all of a sudden you'll be wrong, but you'll also won't even know how you're wrong and how to fix it necessarily. All right. Let's just jump to our next slide, which is called the next shot. Oops, actually, I didn't mean to jump yet. And this is the idea of what would happen pretty much every week to me. I would make a mistake. I'd make multiple mistakes. So I'd make a mistake. And I'd be wrong. We'd have to jump to Brian's shot, or we'd have to jump out to a graphic or something, which meant I'd made a big mistake. And then what? Do I get to sit around and mope and be upset at myself and focus on the issue that I just messed up? No, I had to be on camera again in 15 seconds, because you jump shots every 15 seconds, give or take. So I had to be on the next shot regardless of what I'd just done. I had to be on topic and on task immediately. And I was responsible for doing it right. If I messed up my very first shot, that was 45 more minutes. I had to be right, even though I just messed up, and just messed up bad, usually. And the idea is you just can't fall apart because of a mistake. And there's a really good quote from Winston Churchill, which I want to throw in here, which he said, "When you're going through hell, keep going." And I want you to think about that in that way specifically. When you make a mistake, keep going. You know, when, and going back to 1 Corinthians with Paul, you know, run to get the prize. I don't run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. I strike a blow and make it slay so I may preach to others. I myself will not be disqualified. And that's Paul talking about, yeah, he's always focused on doing right, doing well. He may make mistakes, fine, keep going. You know, he may make an error, fine, keep going. Don't sit there and just get hung up on the error that you did make, because at the end of the day, you're responsible for continuing that specific goal, for continuing doing well, even though you have made mistakes. And there's an obvious application to our Christian life. We do sin. We make mistakes. And we can sit there and be stopped on that, or we can keep going and do well regardless of what we have done. All right. Let's go ahead and move on to our last slide, our recap. Let's talk through our 3 points here. First, to frame your shot. Most important thing is to set up yourself, set up your walk and your evangelism. So you're invisible, but the focus is all on God. To stay in focus, don't get distracted, because as soon as you get distracted, things go wrong, and then you're stuck fixing them. And how do you do that? And finally, the next shot. When you make a mistake, because you always are going to make mistakes, keep going. Just, it's happened. You can't fix it now. Just go on and do a good job from then forward. And those are the three of the lessons I learned. Let's go ahead and wrap up with prayer, and then we will do communion. Lord, thank you for this time together. Lord, thank you for all the many blessings that you've given this church, given us, that we've given to people around us. Lord, ask that you be with everyone here, everyone at home. Help them to have a good year, a good week, a good month, and especially to show you to the world around them. In your name we pray. Amen.
All right. For those of you here in the room, we just adjusted the camera because of what Chris just talked about. We need to keep the right shot, right? Keep it in perspective or in focus. But Chris's stories remind me of when I was a kid. I didn't have the glamorous job of being a cameraman, but my dad was a pastor, and I had the not-so-glamorous job of moving the words on the transparencies. You remember that, right? And for the worship songs. And almost every week, what I would usually do is I would show up early with my parents, and then as they were doing the worship practice, I would practice moving the slides back and forth, because the most important part was when you had to transition from one page to the next one, and you wanted to do it quickly so that people could keep up with the words. But one particular day or Sunday, I believe it was right around Christmas time, I was like, you know what? I'm an expert at this. I've got it down. I'm going to go play with my friends. I don't need to do the rehearsal. And sure enough, in the middle of the service, we were going through the slides, and I was doing okay. But all of a sudden, they made a transition, and I got all mixed up and had to scramble to find an old page that we'd already used, and I totally messed up the worship. And now, like Chris was talking about, all the focus was on me instead of on the worship. But right now we're going to take communion, and communion is a great time where we are focusing on Jesus, where we're putting our focus where it truly needs to be, and that's on Jesus and the cross. And we're remembering what Jesus did for us, remembering that he gave his life for us, remembering that we have life in him. Remembering that he will come back again and be glorified all throughout the earth, and we're looking forward to that day. So let me remind you again, and we do this every month because it's so important. But on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took some bread and he broke it. He said, "This bread is like my body, which is broken for you. Eat this in remembrance of me." Would you please take a piece of bread and eat it, remembering Jesus' body on the cross given for you. A little bit later, Jesus took a cup, and most likely it was filled with wine. We use juice most of the time. But he poured it out, and he said, "This is like my blood shed for you, the blood of the new covenant, a new relationship, a new commitment between God and us, where we are cleansed and set free from our sins because of his blood poured out for us." Would you please take some juice and drink it, remembering Christ's blood shed for you? And would you pray with me? Jesus, we thank you for what you've done for us. I thank you for the cross, Lord, that you gave your life for us, that you were willing to even die for us. I thank you for the freedom and forgiveness we find there. Thank you for purifying us of our sins. I thank you for washing us clean and loving us, for the reconciliation we have now with the Father. And I pray, Jesus, that we would take the lessons we've learned today and apply them to our lives. I pray, Lord Jesus, that we would be able to keep our focus on you, and that our ministry would allow others to see you more. Pray that you'd help us not to give up when we make mistakes, but to continue serving you and moving forward. I pray, Jesus, that we would honor you and glorify you in everything that we do. Jesus, we praise your name and we worship you. And we pray, Lord, as we move into this new year, that you would be with us, that you would speak to us, Lord, that you would shape our hearts and our minds so that we would know you more. I pray that your presence in our lives would be more evident to the people around us so that they would know you more too. May you be glorified in this earth, Lord. At this time, would you please join me in praying the Lord's Prayer?
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you once again for joining us today. Thanks to Chris for speaking for us and to his family for joining us as well. God bless you guys and have a great week. Take care.